Would have you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 21. We have been talking about Elijah, talking about his life, and the various things that he has done, and some lessons that we can draw from that. Towards the end of Elijah's life, there are several incidences where he had to face down various kings. In our scripture reading today, we had from 1 Kings chapter 21, the story about Naboth's vineyard. Ahab, we already established and shown, is not a good king. He's quite wicked. He married a woman who's not of Israelite descent. She is from Sidon. She is raised in idolatry. And basically, her idea was that whatever a king decided, that was it. And if he wanted somebody's vineyard, well then, fine, go take that vineyard. She was not used to the idea that one lives underneath laws, including the king. The king wanted a vineyard that was next door to his place. He wanted a place basically to grow vegetables. He wanted a vegetable garden. And Naboth said, no, I'm not going to sell my family inheritance, which by the law was correct. It belonged to Naboth's family, and that was it. So Ahab had a fit over it, was pouting in his bedroom, and Jezebel says, well, I'll take care of this. And so she basically frames Naboth. So it looks like he, or at least is accused of, blasphemy. But she doesn't go just blasphemy against God. She also throws in blasphemy against the king himself also. But he has him stoned. And that's what she wanted, just to get that piece of land. And what we're going to do is start off then with verse 17 of that chapter. Because God then sends Elijah to confront Ahab for what he had done. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, the king of Israel, who is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone to take possession of it. You shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession? And you shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick up the blood of Naboth, the dogs will lick up your blood, even yours. Ahab said to Elijah, have you found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon you, and will utterly sweep you away, and will cut off from Ahab every male, both bond and free in Israel. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Bishiah, the son of Eliah, because of the provocation which you have provoked me to anger, because you have made Israel to sin. A Jezebel, as the Lord has spoken, saying, the dogs will eat Jezebel in the district of Jezreel. The one belonging to Ahab who dies in the city, the dogs will eat. The one who dies in the field, the birds of heaven will eat. Surely there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel his wife incited him. He acted very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before him, before the sons of Israel. God is not angry, pleased with what's going on. He's not pulling any punches. He's telling Ahab just exactly what it was going on. You murdered somebody. Well, Ahab didn't do it. Well, yeah, Ahab gave over his seal, his signature. He knew Jezebel was plotting something. And when Jezebel says, okay, Ahab or Naboth died, you can have the plot, he never questioned it. He just took possession of it. And God held him accountable for that. Notice though also that Ahab, as soon as he's greeted by Elijah, "What do you want, my enemy?" Ahab's the one who's been doing wrong all the way through here. Elijah's been telling him, "You need to straighten up." But because Elijah's opposed to what Ahab wants to do, he's his enemy, as far as Ahab is concerned. Elijah's just a messenger. If you really want the actual circumstances, God is opposed to Ahab. If you want to put an enemy down, God is the enemy of Ahab in this particular case. What is interesting is that all the way through, God lists out all the sins that Ahab has been doing. And he says, "There's no one like you who has sold himself totally over to evil." But Ahab does turn. At least a little ways. Starting with verse 27, "It came about when Ahab heard these words that he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and fasted. And he laid his sackcloth and went about despondently. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, 'Do you see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his day, but I will bring the evil upon his house in his son's days.'" Because Ahab changed, God says, "Okay, I'll delay what I said. I'm not taking it away, but I will delay it." One of the things we need to understand is sometimes when we're dealing with people, even the most stubborn, committed, wicked person, how many times do we talk ourselves out of talking to him? He'll never listen anyway. How long has Elijah been talking to Ahab, telling him he's wrong, before it finally got through to Ahab that he was wrong? This has been going on for years. Conflict after conflict after conflict. We ought not to prejudge people. We ought to be willing to say everyone deserves a chance. Even the most wicked person, even the one that has turned us down 50 times, maybe the next time he'll listen. Now, Ahab did die just the way Elijah predicted. Even though he tried to get around what was going on, he ended up dying, and he ended up dying right where it was predicted he would die. And not only that, when it said that the dogs would lick his blood there, he didn't actually die right where where you might have thought. He died on a chariot in a battle, but they brought the chariot back and they flushed it out, to wash it off, and the dogs came and licked his blood right where God said it would happen. It was a very interesting fulfillment of that prophecy. But if we remember, God said that the evil would come upon his sons. And we're going to jump to 2 Kings then, to see the next incidents where next instance that we have, and this is Ahaz. This is Ahab's son, Ahaziah, was just about as bad as Ahab was. It says in verse 2 of this chapter, chapter 1, verse 2, and Ahaziah fell through the lattice in his upper chamber, which was in Samaria, and became ill. So he sent messengers and said to him, "Go inquire of Baal Zeba, the god of Ekron, whether I will recover from this sickness." Now I want you to notice what ended up happening. He was a worshiper of Baal, just like his father and just like his mother. Though he knew about the God of Israel, and I'm sure he knew about all the stories about Ahab and the various confrontations with Elijah. But when things got really bad, he fell through a lattice work, he injured himself, he wanted to know, am I recovering, because he's gotten very sick from it. And instead of going to God to find out, he goes and sends to the prophets of Baal and says, okay, can you tell me whether I'm going to recover or not? So God again sends Elijah, this time to intercept those messengers. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, the Tishbite, arise, go meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say to them, is it because there is no God in Israel that you're going to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now, therefore, says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but you shall surely die. Then Elijah departed. Pops in the scene, disappears again. Just like Elijah's done all through his career. Delivering the message of God. It's not a pleasant message. But then a lot of times when Elijah's sent, it's not a pleasant message that he has to deliver. God basically says, because you decided to ask Baal, you're not going to recover. You're going to die. Now, the king wasn't happy about that, of course. And he took in his head that he wanted to hear it for himself. He didn't want it through a messenger. He wanted to hear it directly. When the messengers, starting with verse 5, when the messengers returned to him, he said to them, why have you returned? Because they came back earlier than they were supposed to. They said to him, a man came to meet up with us and said to us, go return to the king who sent you and say to him, thus says the Lord, is it because there is no God of Israel that you are sending to the choir of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed where you've gone up, but shall surely die. And he said to them, what kind of man was he who came up to meet you and spoke these words to you? And they answered him, he was a hairy man with a leather girdle bound about his loins. And he said, it's Elijah the Tishbite. So then the king sent him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he was sitting on top of a hill. And he said to him, O man of God, the king says, come down. Elijah replied to the captain of 50, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So he again sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he said to him, O man of God, thus says the king, come down quickly. Elijah replied, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So again he sent the captain of a third 50 with his 50. When the third captain of the 50 came up, he came and bowed down on his knees before Elijah and begged him and said to him, O man of God, please let my life and the lives of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Behold, fire came down from heaven and consumed the first two captains of 50 and their 50s. But now let my life be precious in your sight. And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go down with him. Do not be afraid of him. So he arose and went down to him to the king. Now what was going on here? It's almost humorous. Although so many people died. The point is, each of those captains called Elijah a prophet of God and showed him no respect. They thought that because the king ordered something, that therefore even a prophet of God had to obey. That's why they lost their lives. And the reason why God said, okay, you can go with the third one, was here was a man who respected God, even in spite of the king's orders. The other two probably would not have hesitated to kill Elijah if the king so ordered it. The last one would not have killed him because he respected God greater, or even make an attempt. Continuing then with this story, as Elijah goes before the king, then he said to him, "Thus says the Lord, behold, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Baal, Zebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no god of Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed where you've gone up, but you shall surely die." So as Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah has spoken, because he had no son, Jehoram became king in his place in the second year of Jehoram, the king, son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. He didn't want to take God's word from any secondary sources. He wanted to hear it for himself. Elijah has told him exactly the same thing. Didn't beat around the bush. You're going to die. You're not even going to get out of this bed. And it didn't happen that way. The news wasn't any better in person than it was indirectly. Now, sometimes people think they can push their ways around. They can browbeat people. That they somehow can make God change his message. Elijah's message never changed. Because when God speaks, that's the way it is. Ahab bought a little extra time because he humbled himself. Ahaziah died just as God said because he was arrogant and thought he could command God or have God change his message. One of the stories that probably most people know most about Elijah is in chapter 2. It gets down towards the end of Elijah's life. And he's told that it is about time for him to depart. And it came about when the Lord was about to take Elijah up by a whirlwind to heaven, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Then the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from you, over you today?" And he says, "Yes, I know. Be still." And Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he says, "The Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Be still." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. Now 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood opposite them at the distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. One of the things I want you to remember is that Elijah, when he was in the wilderness, right after Mount Carmel, and Jezebel threatened to kill him, and he had ran off, and he says, "I'm the only one left, and there's no one else, and I'm alone." There's a little bit of irony going on here. Elijah keeps trying to send Elisha off, saying, "Because I'm departing, you need to leave." Elisha won't leave him alone. That claim that Elijah has said that I'm alone, God's not letting him say that anymore. Even down to the very end, he cannot claim that he was ever alone. Starting with verse 8 of 2 Kings chapter 2. Elijah took his mantle and folded it together and struck the waters, and they were divided, and there, so that the two of them crossed over onto dry land. And when they crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. This sometimes gets people confused if you don't understand a little piece of the old law. Elisha is not asking for twice Elijah's power. When he says, give me a double portion. What he's talking about is his inheritance. Elijah doesn't have any children. And basically Elisha says, let me inherit from you. Because the oldest child of a person, if a person, say, like has three kids, under the old law, they would divide the inheritance four ways, one more than there was children. And two portions would go to the eldest child. And so Elisha is basically saying to Elijah, treat me as your eldest child, and I want to inherit from you. Now the problem is, as Elijah points out, is that what Elisha asked for is a double portion of the Spirit. He says, that's not mine to give. I can't give, even if I wanted to, I can't give you what I have. He said, but if God lets you see me depart, then you know that God will give that to you. It's not my choice to give. That's going to be God's choice. If you don't see me go, then you know that's the answer from God. Starting then with verse 11, and as they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and his horsemen. And he saw Elijah no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he had also struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. Very dramatic end for a very dynamic person. To be taken up in the whirlwind. Elijah is only one of two people that are mentioned in the Bible that never died. It's not something that God normally does. But why do we look at such stories? Why do we read through them? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And starting with verse 11. It says, now these things happened to them as an example. They were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. There are so many Christians who don't study their Old Testament. Because, well, after all, we're underneath the Old Testament. The Old Testament is gone. Or underneath the New Testament, the Old Testament is gone. But the Old Testament is still there for our learning. We need to see how people behaved. We need to see that when God says something, he really means it. We need to see how people like Elijah, who is a preacher in a sense, a prophet of God, how he behaved when faced with opposition. Over in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And in verse 4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Again, those stories are there to give us hope. To show that if we hold on, if we preserve, we will triumph in the end. Because God is with us. I figured I was going to be short today in this lesson, but I didn't have as much material to cover. But we need to learn from these lessons. We need to look at what Elijah was like. There's so many people saying, oh, you can't say that. You got to be gentle. Well, sometimes gentle is the right answer. Sometimes, though, bold and strong is the right answer. We need to learn when to apply the right approach to the right person. We need to learn how to stand up for what is true. And I hope you'll think about those things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And if there's anyone here who is a child of God and would like to pray as their congregation on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song selected.